20 years ago this week, on January 31st, 2005, hip-hop returned to WPFW's airwaves with the launch of Decipher. Aggressive hip-hop for the DMV. This Saturday, February 1st, the Decipher family celebrates this milestone with a special extended edition of Decipher from 6 p.m. till midnight, featuring special programming from Words, Beats, and Life's Mazie Mutafa from 6 to 7, DJ Machete in the mix from 7 till 8, and a family reunion roundtable from 8 till 9 with original Decipher hosts.
All-Star Mondays.
Blackademics.
Holla Back.
All leading up to Ill Street Grooves from 9 to midnight. That's Decipher's 20th anniversary special this Saturday from 6 p.m. till midnight on Jazz and Justice Radio, 89.3 FM, WPFW, and online at WPFWFM.org.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. You know, I take phone calls at 202-588-0893. A lot of things going on as usual. A lot of happening in the news. We have a very tragic plane crash, and everybody's flipped out about that with very, for obvious reasons. My poor dear commanders, my beloved commanders, fell to the Eagles last week. Cried myself to sleep many a day. Not really, but you get my point. It was a great season, so I really enjoyed my Commanders, and looking forward to what's coming next year. And open lines, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Now, I saw a Newsweek article, a number of articles, and it made me think about something that maybe people might want to talk about, because, you know, everybody who knows me knows I'm an independent. There's no politicians that I love, support. I'm not about individual. I'm not about the politics of personality. If any politician, if they do something that I support, I will support that. If they do something I don't like, I will oppose that. I'm not going to be in love with a politician or hate a politician. I'm not going to talk about how great a politician is or how terrible a politician. Now, there's some I really, really hate. Let's face it, I'm still angry at Biden and crew over that genocide and probably never forgive them in my heart, but that's neither here nor there. What do they care? They're all rich and going on doing their thing, right? But here's my thought. You know, it is unhealthy for a country to be a one-party state. Very, very unhealthy. And I feel as though, you know, here we're 2 years out from the midterms, but I feel like we're heading in that direction. Let me give you an example. Here's an article from Newsweek. Remember, got open lines, 202-588-0893. Democratic Party handed polling blow on heels of second Trump term, right? You go on and here's what it says. Enthusiasm for the Democratic Party has continued to slip since the November election, according to a tracker. So we got a YouGov poll, we got a Quinnipiac poll, and here's what it says. 31% of voters have a favorable view of the Democratic Party, compared to 57% holding an unfavorable view. That ain't good. You ain't gonna do real good in the midterms unless that gets turned around. Let me continue. This is the highest percentage of voters having an unfavorable opinion of the Democratic Party since the Quinnipiac University poll began asking this question. The poll shows that 22% of independent voters, 22% of independents, have a favorable opinion of the Democratic Party versus 59% unfavorable. 22% of men have a favorable, 67% unfavorable. 39% of women have a favorable, 47% unfavorable, right? So the numbers are so upside down for the Democratic Party right now. If they went to go, if the midterms was tomorrow, they'd get obliterated. And see, here's the problem with that. We end up with a one-party state. If this continues, we end up with the Republicans having a veto-proof majority, being able to do whatever they want to do, having a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and we become a one-party state. And despite my disdain for the Democrats and disdain for the Republicans, don't like either one of the parties, man, it ain't good to have a one-party state. And first of all, I got a lot of issues with the state we got now, right, as far as foreign policy. But I'm just saying we're heading towards a one-party state where the Democrats, if they don't turn things around, will continue to get obliterated. Now, it's a long time between then and now. But if those polls as Quinnipiac says, and Quinnipiac is fairly reliable, if those are accurate, and it means, and the Democrats don't do something to turn it around. And here's what I'm saying. Standing around saying Trump is bad, Trump is bad, Trump is bad. It didn't work during November. Saying, oh, those stupid voters, they won't vote for us. They're a bunch of sexists and racists, and attacking the voters ain't going to get it done. In fact, let me say this. It's only going to make it worse. The voters are not happy with the Democratic Party. Attacking the voters ain't going to bring them in into the fold. It's going to push them out of the fold. As little love as I have for either party, I got less love for a one-party state. That's really bad. But we could be heading in that direction if something don't turn around. And one of the things is like this. Look, if you are an addict, if you have a problem in life, you can't resolve it until you evaluate what the problem is. And being that a lot of my family members and close friends are Democrats, and they know I am a independent and we'll talk about it, whatever. But and the kind of things that I hear do not point to repair. They do not point to we need to change some things that we're doing so that we can get healthy again. And that, and here's the thing, so that we can attract voters. See. A lot of people that I know, dear beloved family members and friends, have lost that concept of attracting the voters, of giving the voters something to say, hey, I want to vote for that party or those people, standing for something where the people say, I'm attracted to this party because I believe they stand for the people. And what has happened in recent years has been, hey, why should I vote for your party? Because Trump is bad. Well, you know what? If I'm at working at the Chevy dealer selling Chevys and somebody says, why should I buy a Chevy truck from you, salesman Nixon? And I say, because Dodge is terrible and Ford is bad. That ain't gonna sell a lot of trucks. I have to show them something assertively about why my party is good. And I just can't say it. I have to, come on, let's take a test drive. Let me tell you, put you in touch with somebody that's had a Chevy truck for 10 years. Let me show you some facts. Let me do some things that are going to bring you there. I can't just say buy it. Why? Because everybody else is bad. Buy it. Why? Because if you don't buy my truck, you're a jerk. You're a racist. You're a sexist. You're terrible if you don't buy my truck. It may make me feel superior, but I ain't selling no trucks or cars or anything. And so I feel as though, based on my beloved family members and friends who are all Democrats, that the Democratic Party is stuck in a place that I don't know if it can get out of. And if they don't get out of this, we end up with a one-party state. And one-party states never work out real well for anybody because it gets too ideological. And, you know, God knows, let's face it, put the Republicans in charge of everything. It ain't going to work out real well. Basically, in my opinion, right now, put the Democrats in charge of everything, it ain't going to work out real well. So you've got to, let's just say, for as little love as I have for both parties, you have to have some level of you have to have some mitigating factors. You have to have somebody that's going to pull back the reins. And right now, I don't feel as though we are moving in a direction where anybody will can pull back the reins. Look at it right now. Right now, where are we? The Republicans have the House. The Republicans have the Senate. The Republicans have the White House. They have a convincing majority on the Supreme Court. So right now, it's not that we have a one-party state because Democrats can still filibuster and things like that in the Senate. But I'm just saying, it's as close as to we get as a one-party state in this country. And whining about the other party is not going to attract anybody. What I see amongst my friends that are Democrats is getting together in a circle, getting together with those who think like them and believe like them, and either complaining about how bad they are, but the other side is, or talking about the great virtues that they have. You know, we're great, we're good, we're the righteous people, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, right? But they're talking amongst themselves. It's groupthink. And, well, what can you do different? Well, from what I hear, they don't need to do anything different. Well, we only lost because of those stupid voters. Why, if only they would do the right thing. And I'm like, dude, you're not moving in the right direction to get the voters back. You're still attacking the voters. Yeah, the reasons that they lost are quite frankly absurd. You know, I'm like, well, yeah, you lost. And I think it was because of economics and this. No. We lost. Let's see. Because, and here's the various things I'm hearing. Well, here's one of them. We lost because Elon Musk manipulated the algorithms on Twitter. 2% of black folks is on Twitter. 2%. And Trump got like, what, 20% of black males? 25%, 24, 25% in some states. Twitter couldn't get that done. 2% of black folks. I'll put it like this. Let me go one further. You're insulting the voters. If you say somebody manipulated the voters, it's an insult to the voters. What you're saying to the voters is this: you're not smart enough to vote for us, while your poor little weak minds are so weak that you're easily manipulated. It is insulting the voters. You still haven't given the voters the, we got a couple callers, 1 second. You still haven't given the voters their props. You got to say to the voters, hey, I understand you're smart. I understand you know what's going on and you didn't vote for us. You know, I respect you, but I'll tell you what, how about we go in this direction and you respect the voters and you stop making excuses, no more excuses. And you say, okay, from now on, here's what we'd like to do. We're going to make some changes. And you demonstrate to the voters that you're going to respect the voters. You're going to respect the people and that you're going to work for them. Right now, they ain't going in that direction. And if the Democratic Party continues with excuses and attacking the voters and just taking the moral high ground, we're great. We're going to stand up against Trump. You lost to Trump. You got blown out. That ain't going to get it done. But I can only give advice. I can only say, look, I ain't in either one of these parties. I don't like either party. So you need to make some changes. That's all I can do. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Speaking of which, we're going to talk to some people and we're going to listen to some people. The number is 202-588-0893. Let me just tell you, when you call, do not use the speakerphone because they sound horrible. When you answer, make sure you talk loudly because, you know, we got it going on here with our new studios, and also be loud and clear so we can hear you. I'll let you know if you're not. And this is critical. When you pick up the phone and Kalia says, hold on for Garland or whatever he says, don't set the phone down and listen through the computer or the radio. There's a 10-second delay. And you hear it every week when I say, caller, where are you? And you don't hear, caller, where are you? And you don't hear nothing. Why? Because they set the phone down and it's a 10-second delay. Let's not do that. Keep the phone at your ear. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is MC from Herndon. Can you hear me?
Talk
well?
Talk to me, MC.
Yeah, I'm just calling, man, because I listen to you every Friday evening. And you be talking really, really foul about the Democratic Party and this and that and this and that. And you always give breaks to Trump. My question is to you, we got 4 years of Trump. What's your solution to the problem other than keep talking about the Democrats? The House is belonging to the Republicans. The Senate is the Republicans. What's your plan?
Well, you know, actually, I'm glad. Good call. And I just gave you my plan. Look, here's the reality. For 2 years, they got it all. So what the Democrats have to do for 2 years is to kind of remake themselves in a way that they attract more voters so that when they got to start, you know, between now and the midterms, it's a little you can do here and there. But what they have to do is demonstrate, hey, we're for the voters. We're for the working class. They got to do something different, what they didn't do. So you can't do nothing about the Democrats, about Trump, about the Republicans. The Democrats have to remake themselves and reach out to the voters and be what the voters want. You know what I'm saying? Like people always say, I want Mr. Right. A woman will say, I want Mr. Right. I'll say, be Mrs. Right, and Mr. Right will find you, right? So the Democrats have to be Mrs. Right, so Mr. Right will find them, if you know what the analogy I'm getting at. Your thoughts? Oh, okay. Well, that's my position. You can't, for 2 years, they got the power. It is what it is. You've got to say, we have screwed up. If we didn't screw up, we wouldn't have lost everything. You can't just say the voters are bad. Everybody has forsaken us. That ain't the way politics work. Now the Democrats have to figure out how they're going to remake themselves and in the midterm make their moves. All right. Next call. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello. Is that me?
Yeah, you're on the air, brother.
Nick Udumaga from North Carolina. My young brother, Garland, you are now sounding like a broken record and a dogged and fierce and defense lawyer for Donald Trump. When are you going to move on from Joe Biden and the Democrats? Biden is no more the president and the Democrats have also lost power to the Republicans. Looks like you are using them as a red herring, just as Donald Trump and his sadists. Gang are using the same the so-called illegal aliens to distract us from the grave and evil danger they pose to America and the world. Look, my brother, honestly, I call to say that America and Americans should be very, very ashamed to elect a Neanderthal like Donald Trump as president in 2025, in the 21st century.
You know, now, let me ask you this. But, okay, I understand your position. And as you know, I don't support either party. But here's my question to you. You know, there's an old saying in life. We need less historians and more pioneers, right? Okay, Trump is in. Nothing you can do about that. My position is forward-looking. My position is saying, okay, the midterms are coming up, and the Democrats need to prepare for the midterms, and they need to put themselves in a position to win for the midterms. I don't think I agree with Donald Trump, because I don't think Donald Trump wants the Democrats to prepare for the midterms and to put themselves in a position to be successful. So I ain't speaking for Donald Trump, because I doubt if he wants the Democrats to be successful in the midterms. So my point that I'm getting is, don't you think that if you can't change the past, there's an old saying, even God can't change the past, right? If you can't change the past, isn't it a good idea to look towards the midterms and try to figure out what the party needs to do to reach out to the voters and to remake themselves in a way that the voters are attracted to the Democratic Party? What are your thoughts? Okay, man, why would you look? Let me say this to the callers. And the number is 202-588-0893. I want to have a conversation. Call. I understand what you're saying. You hate Donald Trump or what? That's all good and fine. You can't change the past. The question is looking forward. And as I said, a bunch of people sitting around talking about how much they hate Donald Trump ain't going to get you no votes in the midterms. I mean, it make you feel good. You may get something off your chest. America should be ashamed. Well, America's not ashamed. America won. The polls say the Democrats are looking bad. 22% of independents, 22% of men, 39%. The numbers are terrible. You've got to get those numbers up. The question is, how does the Democratic Party go about getting those numbers up? What changes do they need to make? Or they just throw in a towel and say, who cares? We'd be happier talking about how bad Trump is and then get our clocks cleaned again in the midterm. I don't want to see that happen. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, so I've talked to you before. So first of all, what we have, it's a plutocracy. Mm-hmm. We have what's called a plutocracy, a government run by the wealthy, an elite group of individuals whose power is derived from their wealth at government. Okay, that's what we have now. That's on both sides. The reason that the Democrats lost is because it wasn't Trump. They lost their way. Let me explain it to you this way.
No, I agree with you. Continue.
I explain this to a guy at work, a black guy at work. He goes, oh, my God, that's a really good analogy. I said, think about what the Democrats did. Okay, what did they do? Oh, man, they went to Hollywood, man. You know, they went to Oprah, they went to Hollywood, you know, they did all this stuff, and it ain't got nothing to do with us. And I said, now, remember that movie Color Purple? And he goes, yeah. I said, wasn't Oprah in that movie? Yeah. Remember what she played, the character she played, hard, beaten down? He goes, yeah. Yeah, I said, that's the person that they should have been. Those are the people who they should have resonated with. He goes, damn, you're right. She even played that part of a beaten down, sad, you know, poor, middle, you know. I said, she played the part, and they didn't represent those people. Trump had enough to do that. Trump had enough, not giving him all the kudos, but he had enough to go to McDonald's, to go to the supermarkets, go to that trash truck. You know, to do these little things, it was old school that the Democrats used to do. He took their playbook.
Let me throw something at you, okay, real quick, because I think there's a number of factors why they lost, but I think it would be, we would miss the boat if we don't actually say, I think, my opinion, the biggest reason why the Democrats lost was the way they governed over the last 4 years. It was how they actually governed. That we have
to
give
the
voters and the people credit and say the people looked at the way the Democrats governed for the last 4 years and said, I don't like this type of governing. And unless the Democratic Party can look at that, as long as they blame the voters, get mad, talk about Trump, that ain't going to do them no good. I believe that they lost because of the way they governed and the people didn't like it. And now they got to go in a different direction.
See, this is where, right here, this is what you're talking. This is where the disconnect is. Right here, you're saying that, and I'm asking you a question. Well, how they govern, how they govern. Well, then where is the disconnect is right there. That's the disconnect. Then who are they resonating with?
Right.
Who are they resonating with? They're resonating with the same people that they were going on the campaign trail with.
Yep.
Okay,
they're
not Hollywood.
They're coming across as a party the Democratic Party now comes across as a party that represents the elite, that represents the wealthy, that represents the powerful, and you're just not going to get a lot of votes like that.
Right. They need to go back to the basics. I told my friends who were Democrats, I said, look, man, you need to go back and look at King. The photos with King with the poor. Bobby Kennedy with the poor. Robert F. Kennedy with the poor. Look what these people stood for. They weren't out there. I said, look what this party has turned into. I said, it's in shambles. Okay, that's not the Democrat Party that I know. The Democrat Party that I know is down there with those workers, those teachers, those union people, those people that strive every day. She's up there, got Beyonce and all these. It was an insult to Kennedy and Bobby and King and the whole. It was an insult to those people. And
let me add something else. You know, let me throw something else at you. And that is, you know, when I was a Democrat my whole life, and then 2016, I supported Bernie Sanders, and the Democratic Party washed him away. And what happened in 2016? The Republicans had their version of a right-wing populist, and that was Trump. The Democrats had their version of a more left-wing populist, and that was Bernie, right? The Democrats crushed theirs. They crushed their own internally. They crushed their own left-wing populist, whether you agree with them or not. Same with Trump was a right-wing populist, whether you agree with him or not. So the Republican right-wing populist flourished. He flourished. The Republican Party allowed him the win, blah, 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 and he went on. We disagree with him in the same way that the Republicans would disagree with Bernie. Fair enough. But when they crushed their populist candidate, the only thing left was this corporate entity who was a party for the stars and the wealthy. And if they hadn't, so they got to get back to that roots where you don't crush. If you got a left, if the people want a left-wing populist, let the people choose. And they didn't let the people choose, and they're still paying for it. Go ahead. You get the last word.
I think that it's very easy. And it's the simplest thing. You know, it's so easy. It's not really deep to get the party back, to win.
Mm-hmm.
But it would take somebody from the ground. Hey, man, stay away from the Hollywood. Stay away from all that. The next candidate, I put some working boots on, get some jeans on, go to these supermarkets, resonate with the American people. Go here, go here, go here. You know, it's the simplest
one other thing
in the They're world.
They're going to have to introduce legislation and policies and stuff like that and fight, even though they can't get them through because the Republicans are, they're going to have to introduce legislations for the working class, for the working poor, and then fight for those and push for those and give people the idea, man, they're really going to push for us and they're really going to fight for us because they made a lot of promises in 2020. And keep any of. All right, last word. We got to get ready to go. You got 30 seconds.
If I met Oprah, I'd say, dress up like that lady in that movie. Be that lady in that movie. And run for president.
Well, I don't think a billionaire is the way to go my friend. Look, they run a billionaire. They're going in the same direction. I don't care if you put a billionaire in a suit. But we got
to
go. I certainly appreciate the call and appreciate you calling in and giving me your perspective. Hey, everybody, feel free to call if you agree with me or don't. But look, don't just hang up when you make a comment. I want to get some feedback here. I want to hear how people feel. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, Garland, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Excellent. Hey, hopefully Lee and Owl Killer are doing great. I haven't heard from them guys in a while on the radio, but I think you're really on to something here. The two-party versus the one-party system. That's a great question. You got most governments that are one-party are authoritarian.
Communist, it's not good. It's not healthy for a country to be a one-party system.
But the only thing worse than a one-party system is a two-party system, because you got the dialectic. You're allowed to let people believe that they have a choice. All right, these two parties, they're the same thing.
Let me change this. So I'll put it a little bit differently, depending, because I also believe in this. If a country is working with that particular system, that's fine. But in the United States, the way I put it like this, in this country, the way this country is set up right now, it's because there are countries that have one party system. There could be a country that has a king. If the people are happy with a monarchy and it's working for them, that's fine. The way our country is set up, a one party system won't work very well, in my opinion. We need a multi-party system, but you got to have two before you
need
can get
no
to three.
Parties.
Go ahead.
No parties. You need no parties. Parties are always hosted. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate parties are hosted by the host of all hosts. These are terms that go way back. If you have a party or parties, they're usually hosted by someone. Who's hosting the parties in our country? That's the question. Is it the corporations? Or is it individuals? Like the caller before me said, we're a plutocracy. All right. So that means it's hosted by individuals. Some people believe that the parties are hosted by corporations, which are also it's a group of individuals.
Right.
So you get mad at the government, you get mad at the parties, right? You get mad at the companies, you get mad at the corporations. It's all individuals. It's all of us. We look at each other every day. We drive around. It's all of us. Parties are us. Corporations are us. The government is us.
So let me ask you this. Based on that, a quality analysis, I'll give you this. What do you think? Do you agree that, for starters, the Democratic Party needs to remake itself and needs to make some changes so that by the midterms, at least they can be a part of the system? Do you think that's a good idea, or should something else happen? Should there be a third party? What is your opinion on that?
I mean, a third party is what they do overseas. You know, Europe. See, they always say, you know, democracy is only better than the next best thing. That's all. So it's up to us to eliminate the idea of parties, because parties are hosted by individuals or by groups of individuals. So
all
it's
right.
like you're
well,
deluding
yeah,
make, yourself.
I'm not going to disagree with you, you know, to some extent. But at any rate, we got a couple more callers. The number is 202-588-0893. We got open lines. And as I said, my question, and you don't have to answer it exactly as that is, and my position, I'm independent. I'm not either party, and I really don't care much for either party. So I'm in a position where if any party or any politician says, I want a particular policy, I support the policies that I like, and I oppose the policies that I dislike, regardless of the politician, regardless of the party. Simple as that. But I do believe the Democratic Party is in a bad way. I read that poll. That ain't a good poll, and I think they need to get their act together before the midterms, because if they get smashed again in the midterms, you got a one-party state, and that's not healthy. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yo, Mike from D.C., brother.
Mike, talk to me, brother.
Hey, did you hear about the Kathy Hughes report when she said that black people get more of their news from black media than the mainstream news media?
No.
Yeah, she did report of that on WOL. And I think that's good, especially talk radio. The black community really, you know, get a lot of information from talk radio. And I think that's good. I just wish they'd stop attacking black men for voting for Trump. Now, as far as it comes to this the midterm elections that's going to be coming up, I'm starting to see some cracks in the Republican Party. I'm going to tell you what it is. The Republicans have not learned the lessons from the Democrats. When the Democrats kept pushing certain issues that it was not really popular that they thought it was, the Republicans are doing the same thing of the overreach of this DEI. What's going to happen, they're going to keep on overreaching with that, and you're going to start seeing some things are going to start happen. And it could happen in the midterm elections if they keep overreaching with DEI, because you're going to start seeing a lot of black people. They're going to be like, well, wait a minute now. Why should I keep supporting a party that if any position hold by a black person, they got to prove to almighty whitey that they deserve to have that position? And then my question to the black community, When are black people going to stop to have to prove themselves to white people or anybody? You know, and
well, let me make a comment on comment on the whole DEI thing. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. Office of DEI opened in 2021, the federal government's Office of DEI. It's been about 3.5 years. To be quite frank, I mean, DEI is a kind of a cultural thing. But, you know, mm-hmm. I was in law enforcement for many, many years, and I dealt with the EEOC. I dealt with the federal laws regarding discrimination, right, which existed before 2021. I retired before 2021 from law enforcement. So DEI may be a cultural thing, but if you're working on a job or black or applying or whatever, the laws that protect you, the laws that you need to use if you feel that you've been discriminated against or specifically protect you are like the EEOC laws and some of the other laws. So DEI doesn't go, whether it's here or not, it's a cultural thing and they're trying to do whatever they're trying to do, but it doesn't change the laws that exist regarding discrimination, and it doesn't really change much if it's here or not. I mean, people are going to get all upset about it, but the laws regarding job discrimination, etc., have been here for a long time and they ain't going nowhere. So I don't think DEI being here or not being here really changes much of anything for black folks, because it's not, it doesn't affect the laws that we use and the federal regulations that we use for discrimination protection, specifically for race discrimination, sex discrimination, whatever. The DEI offices do not affect those laws for the most part, if you know what I'm saying. So if you feel you've been discriminated against, you still got to file with the EEOC the same exact way. All the things are same that were there as before. So I don't see that as a make or break thing for folks anyway, for black folks.
I don't know. I disagree with that, because, you know, they are overreaching it, because every time we listen to conservatives, they'll be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They complain about DEI. That's all you hear about. And I'm saying what's going to happen, they're going to keep complaining about it. They're going to keep overreaching, and they got coming up with these new laws that Trump is coming out with. And once they overreach, you're going to see a similar thing happen to the Republican Party that happened to the Democrats. The problem is that most people, especially young black male, they not gonna go to the Democratic Party no matter what. Now, this
let me ask you, throw this at you, Mike.
It does open up.
I don't think the Democrats can count on that. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can go into the midterms counting on, oh boy, the Republicans are going to overreach and people are going to boomerang and come back to us, because that's the way politics have been. One party saying, well, the other party is going to get in and screw up, and then all the voters are going to jump back to us. Well, what if that don't happen? The Democrats have to do assertive things to be different and to attract the voters. You can't just sit around hoping that the other party will be so bad that they'll vote for you, because you may be sitting around, by yourself.
Again, this opens up the door for a third party if they have the right message, or for a strong black political party for black people who don't want to go Democrat or Republican. This opens up the door, but they have to have a message that people can relate to. Did you hear the back and forth between Bernie Sanders and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when Kennedy told Bernie Sanders, you can't talk about me because you take money from the drug companies. So how are you going to criticize me about anything? It was the most hilarious thing I see, of them two going back and forth. It was something. None of these politicians really are what they pretend to be. All of them.
Well, let me say this, Mike, and I'll give you one more thing to say, but I'll throw this at you. My position is this, and I understand what you say, the black folks need their own party, and to some extent I can understand that. My position is, as far as for a third party, neither one of these parties represent the working class. Both of them represent the rich, the oligarchs, and their donors and their patrons. We need a party that represents the working class. A party that represents the person, to people that are struggling to pay their bills, et cetera. And I think a party that represents the working class people and the working poor and the poor, no matter what their race is. See, that's where I think is seeing
we have played that route as black people for too long. That's not going to work anymore,
brother. Go ahead.
As I said, we have played that route too long with black people, always teaming up with other people. It hasn't worked. So there comes a time when you have to do something different that's going to benefit our people. Sometimes we have to put our people first, brother. And you got Black History Month coming up right now, and I want to see if black people are going to really start supporting those black businesses during Black History Month. time will tell. Food of thought.
Thank you. Peace, very brother. Much. Certainly appreciate the call and appreciate your support and show. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? I think the caller must have set the phone down. Yep. Remember, everyone, don't set the phone down when Kalia puts you on hold. Keep the phone at your ear because we have a 10-second delay. And when I call you and say next caller, you'll only hear me if you have the phone at your ear. All right. Well, I guess that caller's not there. All right. Well, we'll try another one. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
What's happening, Max? Glad to hear from you.
So, I definitely do agree with you. I agree with what you were talking about the last guy about how, like, you know, like, trust me, I'm not like this with some of the bills that I've seen Democrats sign already that Republicans, like the Lake and Riley Act, not even really getting into it. One of the Democratic senators I voted for who supported that bill, I was appalled because that bill now allows any immigrant who's accused of a crime, right? Not even guilty of a crime, solely accused, to be subject to deportation. So Angela Brooks voting for that. We'll see if she gets my vote in 2 years or in 4 years, but she might be off the list. You know,
what kills me is you get these Democrats, they're going to try to out Republican the Republicans. Like somehow if they act like a Republican, it's not going to help them. You have to be something different. You know, I mean, you're helping the Republicans when you do that stuff. You got to be different than they are.
I agree. No, you're totally right. And I think and also in reference to what he was talking about with the DEI stuff, I think there was one executive order that Trump did rescind. I don't know if you know which one it is. It was the old Lyndon Johnson executive order that was supposed to advance anti-discrimination in the workplace after the civil rights was passed as well. Do you remember that executive order?
Look, guess what? If the Republicans get a veto-proof majority, the filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, it ain't going to get better, brother. You know what I'm saying? If they get more power, those types of things, even and more, and still have the Supreme Court, oh, my goodness. So my point to the Democratic Party is you got to appeal to the voters because you got a responsibility to stop that from happening in the midterms. And sitting around whining ain't going to get it done. They got to do something to let the voters know that if they get in power, that they will govern differently, that they'll be for peace and they'll be for the working class and all that kind of stuff is the direction they need to go. Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
No, it does seem like there has – this is going on. This isn't just like a Trump thing or a Republican thing. I think there are bigger perpetuators of this. But it does seem like there is a constant attack on affirmative action and DEI. The Supreme Court, the conservative-led Supreme Court, overturned a DEI precedent, like an affirmative action precedent in relation to Harvard. And what you find there is that they say that, Asian students are increasing now and it's less black students. But what's crazy is that legacy admissions, like this, the system's never been merited. So to say affirmative action attacks merit when you have legacy admissions, which have constantly attacked merit, I think sometimes it's kind of unfair to target, like he's saying, to target black people who affirmative action really just created a gateway for merit to kind of prosper versus legacy admissions have constantly seen white people who didn't necessarily deserve the position get the position.
Well, and let me say this. I think one of the errors that are being made, words are important. And now what has happened, the conservatives have done it and the Democrats are buying into it. They're conflating the term DEI with everything. DEI means everything to do with race discrimination. DEI has to do with everything. DEI is a term that's only been around about 3 or 4 years. And the Republicans are now taking that DEI term and basically saying, okay, everything we don't like, anything that has to do with race is DEI. And it's a mistake because the term ain't been around for 3 or 4 years. And that term is turning to be detrimental. I think we have to be specific when we're talking about race related or discrimination related legislation that's been around for a long time, and stop conflating this term DEI with everything, because the Republicans have taken that term, they put a negative connotation on it, and if we continue to allow them to conflate everything with DEI, it's not in our best interest. I'll put it like that. It's not popular right now. So since it's not popular, don't let them conflate it with everything. You have to control the language also. You can't let your opposition control the language and determine how you describe things. What do you think, Max?
I 100% agree with that. I definitely do. And then can I run one more thing by you?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So final thing I'd like to run by you. My biggest concern, like I said, because immigration's an important thing for me. And, you know, the 96 legislation was a terrible attack on legal immigration, and we never had reform. My biggest fear with Trump now presiding over immigration is his deputy Homeland Security Director is Stephen Miller. And both Miller and Bannon are mass exodus type of immigration people. They want to literally commit an exodus of any brown immigrant in this country. They would love to see every last one of them gone or in prison. And it's a very scary thing for me, because I live in Maryland. We have a Latino community. We have other immigrants who are Muslim. They're good people. They're working class people. Many of them weren't able to come here illegally. And it's heartbreaking for me to know that Miller is going to be beating Trump here.
I'm going to give you a number real quick before you go. The historical years in the United States with the most ICE deportations, right? Immigration deportations.
With Obama.
Number one, 2014, Obama, 316,000. Number two, 2024, Joe Biden, 271,000. Number three, 2019, Trump, 267,000. So even though Donald Trump talks a lot of immigration stuff, in reality, in real numbers, he didn't deport as many people as Biden or Obama. Now, I'm not saying that I'm for or against any of them. I'm saying we've got to understand that that's a reality. And what Trump does is, he does a lot more talking about immigration, but he doesn't, interestingly enough, he does not deport more people than Trump or Obama, but he talks about it a lot more. So I don't know, maybe he will in the future, maybe he will this second term, but I think America has to understand that the reality of deportations, I don't know what to think about it, because it's such a complicated issue. You know what I mean?
We could talk about it for two hours.
Get the last word.
I agree. And I definitely agree on that. I guess, and Obama, trust me, because I've been reading over a lot of this stuff. I think when Obama was leaving, because the ACLU went hard on him after he did a lot of deportations. And I think in 15 and 16, after that terrible year in 2014, he tried to really scale back. And I think what I'm saying is that I think Trump's trying to kind of reverse the system. And I think he took away the CB1 app that Biden had, and he's going to cap refugees from 125K to probably 10K again. So,
I'll end up by saying this. If the Democrats want to thwart those kinds of things, they're going to have to make some changes so they can make their move in the midterm. Otherwise, the polls say they're going in the wrong direction. You know what I mean?
They got to be progressive. They got to fight for reform.
We may disagree on some things and agree on others, but one thing I think we can agree on is it's not healthy for the country if the Republicans have, you know, super majorities in both houses and the White House and the Supreme Court. And the Democrats are the only ones that can do anything about it, but they're going to have to change their ways in some areas if they're going to do that. And by change their ways, I don't mean be more like the Republicans. I mean, be less like the Republicans. In my opinion, they're losing because they're too much like the Republicans. And in some ways, they're doing things that people really don't like. They got to look in the mirror and say, we have to work, recommend the working class or we're done. You get the last word, Max.
And I know, I 100% agree. The Democrats, where Kamala failed is she kind of chased Trump to the issue. She needs to remind people that we want to fix immigration. We need security, but we need a legislative bill that improves the ability to migrate here while having security. That way people will
We got a couple more calls. Thanks a lot. And I keep saying this. I don't think Kamala ever had a chance to win. People thought she would win. I don't think she had any chance of winning. And this is what I have to say. I believe the Democrats lost because of the way they govern. And if you listen to this show, if you remember my prediction beforehand, I said it doesn't matter if the Democrats or the Republicans are running Mickey Mouse. Because of the way the Democrats governed over the last 4 years, because of the economic situation, because of inflation and a number of things, because of foreign policy, it doesn't matter who the two parties ran. My opinion was the challenger would win and the incumbent party would lose. And I don't care if they ran Kamala. I don't care if they ran me. I don't think they had a chance. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
What's happening there, brother Rick from Germany?
I want to get your take on the airplane helicopter crash.
You know, to be honest, I've watched and I've read, and I don't really have a take yet. I'm just trying to, like everybody else, waiting for more information to come out. You know, there's a lot of people speculating, and I don't want to be irresponsible and speculate. I don't have enough information yet to know anything other. The only thing I know is apparently a helicopter slammed into the side of a plane and down the plane went. Now, there are people saying, was the helicopter a drone? Was it a man? You know, was it a drone? They got drone helicopters now where they can, you know, remotely pilot. Was that the issue? I don't know. Could it have been people, you know, mistakenly telling somebody to come in at the wrong height? I don't really know. So I would be speculating. And considering such a horrible tragedy it is, I think it would be irresponsible for me to speculate on this one.
Okay. I'm going to speculate.
Sure.
I think I think somebody who is supporting Trump wanted to make not only aviation but the military look bad, and they gave those people in the helicopter bad information and caused that crash. That's what I think.
So you think that this the roots of this plane crash had to do with Trump?
I think it had to do with making jobs in America politicizing. I don't want to use the term that you just said, don't overuse, but there are some people who think that disabled people shouldn't be employed. There's some people who think that not just by race, but by intellectual capacity and test taking, people shouldn't be employed. So I think somebody in America wanted that to happen to take issue with the workplace. I'm done, brother man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll say this, and that is, you know, I remember when Obama was in, and I remember there were people who hated Obama, and there was all these memes about thanks Obama, you know, like a person would stub their toe and they'd say thanks Obama, a person would, you know, drop their soda, thanks Obama. And basically the joke they were making was people that didn't like Obama, anything that happened in their life, they would say it was rooted in something to do with Obama. I don't want to make that same error with Trump. I understand that there are people that feel that way, and I will respect people who disagree with me, but I don't want to be in a situation where everything that happens, every time a tree falls, every time I slip on a banana peel, I say it had something to do with Trump. There are things that happen in this world that don't have to do with Trump. And, you know, we had a terrible tragedy and we will see what happens there. It's a terrible thing. All right. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
You are on the air, brother.
Oh, hi. Yes. This is Tabu calling from Washington.
Tabu.
Issues, I think, are important. And my question is, are there issues that you want to see done that Trump can do? If so, why not ask him to do it?
Well, here's the thing about it. If you listen to my show, you know I'm about peace. I'm an anti-war person. So what do I want? I want the Middle East conflict ended. And Trump did, in fact, get a ceasefire. I don't know how that's going to turn out. I commend him for that. Apparently, he said that he wants a deal in Ukraine and he started making some moves. I commend him for that. Apparently, he's called China and he's talked with the leader of China and said, hey, you know, we can make peace around the world. So the things that Trump have done, that's three things that I commend Donald Trump for. I hope that Donald Trump contacts the leader of North Korea and brings peace, works on bringing peace to the middle, to the Korean Peninsula. So as I said, there's lots of things Trump doing that I don't like, but if Donald Trump or any president does something that I like, I will commend it and I will support it. So I will support Donald Trump 100% for his peace initiatives, and anything that he don't like, I'm going to oppose him 100% for that.
I agree with you. I thank you for that. And the one issue you talk a lot about, and I heard someone else mention earlier, you use the term bourgeoisie, but you speak a lot on the working class. Now, before you can work, you have to have someone to work for, right? You need a business. Trump is trying to bring businesses back and build up our economy. Is that something that should be inspired?
Well, I'll put it like this. I don't necessarily, I understand that's what he, I do believe that's what Trump's trying to do. I don't necessarily agree with his tactics, nor do I believe that, you know, throwing tariffs at everybody in the world is a good idea. So I disagree. I'm okay with anybody wanting to do it, but I strongly disagree with all this tactics and tariffs and all that stuff. I think that they are not a good idea. And
well, don't you think
I don't think they'll work, and I think they'll be counterproductive, and they'll hurt us because they'll make our prices go. So I strongly disagree with the way Trump is trying to bring businesses back. I don't think it'll work.
Well, what about the Federal Reserve that's causing inflation? Do you approve of the Federal Reserve?
I'm not big on the Federal Reserve, no.
No, that's what's causing problems.
The Federal Reserve is owned by banks. I mean, it's an oligarchical. The Federal Reserve is owned by the oligarchs. It's literally owned by banks. So, of course, you know, he who pays the piper plays the tune. So the people who own the Federal Reserve, which are banks, the Federal Reserve is going to make sure that those banks are always get their money. That's why we have bailouts and stuff like that, because they own the Federal Reserve. Of course, the Federal Reserve is going to bail them out. So strongly against the Federal Reserve as an entity.
See, can we get a consensus that we want Trump to get rid of the Federal Reserve, all these taxes? When we work, our money is our property. Taxes is taken from us. Can we agree let's get some issue that we all can agree on? The Federal Reserve, do we want to get rid of it? And let's focus on that and ask President Trump or whoever's in office. Currently, President Trump is there. That's how we can do it. Let us not focus, in my opinion, on these parties, as some of your callers have said.
I think that the presidents, and I say this, the presidents represent the oligarchs. They represent Wall Street. Trump, Biden. Look, why is it that every single president, of whether it's Obama, whatever, when you look at the people in charge of the big money, they always come from Goldman Sachs and Citibank, right? The presidents represent the oligarch class. So for
let's put a project.
The oligarchical class, and Wall Street is a mistake because that's who he works for.
Okay, look, I say he works for us. Let's do this, and let you take the lead on this for us, Garland. You take the calls from us, and let's agree on an issue, and you contact the White House or contact President Trump and say, we the people want X, Y, Z, and see how he responds.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
All right. Okay, I love talking about callers. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Calling, hello. It's Angela from District Heights. How are you?
Wonderful. Speak real loudly, because as I said, we got, you know, so a little bit of issues, so you got to talk loudly so we can hear you. Go ahead. I'm all ears.
So I have to take issue with you, brother, because you got to play
Wonderful.
Candy.
I'm glad to have somebody call and take issue with me.
Yeah, but I'm happy, and I'm hearing myself in the background. It's a little confusing, but anyway. I'm about to play Cameo because it feels like you're talking about the side of your neck, and I'll tell you why. You know, for at least the last 2 years, you keep saying the country is done. This country is done, right?
So now this country is what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
For the last 2 years, you know, giving all of the analysis that you've been doing, you know, when you boil it down a couple of times, you said this country is done, okay? So I'm wondering, in terms of, it sounds like you have non-voters removed, because you're saying that, you know, you don't want it to be a one-party system, but I'm trying to figure out what did you expect. Now, I don't disagree with you because I didn't vote either. You know, I didn't feel like I had any great mission, you know. But what I'm hearing from you is what I'm wondering, why isn't the analysis about for those folks who are going to go beyond what the country that's done, why aren't we thinking about that? Like, what is the next move? Because it sounds like, well, if doing what you said, if the country is done, then why do you care about this one-party system? If the country's done, what is that next move in terms of, like, what we're going to do next?
Well, you know, let me say this. I think that a couple of things real quick, and I'll make this quick. I think that the oligarchs have made a decision, and the decision is no longer to try to be the world's hegemon. It is to be a regional power, to make peace with Russia and China and say, Russia, you're going to be a regional power in your area. China, you're going to be a regional power in your area, and we're going to be a regional power in our area. That's the way I think things are going. I think there is a different group of oligarchs. I call them the tech bros that are in charge now, and I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I appreciate it. Please call me back next week. I just got the high sign, so we're out of time. But just trying to have a discussion from week to week, and those discussions will adjust and change as the situation changes. I want to thank everybody for calling. If you want to find me online, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, at Garland N on a Telegram. You can email me. It's my first name and the first letter of my last name, GarlandN@gmail.com. You know, I love my house music. This was a great one. It's called It Began in Africa. See how you like it.
Par la base, vous voyez ? you all my life. I need somebody by my side. Can we put this thing together? Can we work for something better? Don't want to waste any more time. Will you have enough strength to fight? Can you help me find the answer? Choose a side, it's now or never.